Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On Podcast, where we talk about issues affecting veterans after they get out of the military. Before we get started, I'd like to ask a favor. If you haven't done so already, please rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts. If you've already done that, thank you. These ratings help the show get discovered so it can reach a wider audience. And while you're there, click the subscribe button so that you get notified of new episodes as soon as they come out. If you don't use Apple Podcasts, you can visit driveonpodcast.com/subscribe to find other ways of subscribing, including our email list. I'm your host, Scott DeLuzio, and now let's get on with the show. Hey, everybody. Today, my guest is Stephen Brake. Stephen and I found each other through a post on the Veterans Helping Veterans Facebook group where he was looking for guests on his podcast, the Lucky Brake podcast. And his podcast is all about telling other people's stories. So I figured let's have him on and, you know, maybe give him a chance to tell his story and see how we can help each other out as far as that goes. So welcome to the show, Stephen. Let's hear a little bit about yourself and your background and all that kind of stuff.
All right. Well, I was born and raised in northern Arkansas. And then my mother passed away when I was 7. And so my granny took me to Illinois. And that is where I lived the other half of my life until I joined the Army. And I was 21. And I went to the St. Louis Mets. And had no clue what I was doing. Matter of fact, I remember running from the recruiters before I decided to join the Army because the recruiters were after me. And I was just into smoking weed and skateboarding. And I was like, oh, man, here you could be knocking on my door, didn't answer the door, skating down the sidewalk, see him walking at my door, we'd turn around and run. And then when I turned 21, I was like, what the hell am I going to do with my life? Didn't know what I was going to do. And tried a couple jobs, you know how it goes. And I was like, all right, I'll try to join the Marines. So I tried to join the Marines. I failed the piss test. And they was like, no go. Nope, can't have you. I was like, you're not even going to give me a chance to get clean? No, no way. Fuck off. So went to the Army. They was like, you got 30 days to get clean. I was like, deal. 30 days later, I was on a plane to Fort Sill, Oklahoma. That's where I went to basic training. Yep, Fort Sill. And AIT. I forget if they changed it. Did they change the basic training from, it was 9 weeks. I think now it's like 12 or 13.
Yeah, I forget what it is now. And I, you know, even when I was in, this is back in 2006 or so when I went through basic training. I forget what the whole program was.
Oh, you went in 06. I went in 04.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. So, and then I think it was 9 weeks basic training. You know how when you're with a bunch of people, you get to know them, then you all split up. And I go, then you go to AIT, meet a bunch of other new people, get to know each other. Then you all split up. Finally, you're at your duty station. That's where you meet your brothers and your everybody. And I had one guy that actually went to basic training, AIT, and into my duty station with me. That was Paul Marsh. He went every single one with me. When we were 89 Bravos, that's an ammunition specialist. So we got to play with the explosives and stuff. And I think 05, as soon as we got there, we deployed. And we just went right over there. And 04 and 05, it was still pretty rough, like not like it is today over there. You go over there today, they have actual bases built up, like brick walls and stuff. When I first went, they just had barbed wire around your fence. That's all you had. And plastic Humvees and all that jazz. I remember the crit Iraq, that's what it's called. That's where we first were. And it was just in a field with Connexes around us. And we was at the ammunition supply point in ASP. I remember, there's a lot of stories I got to tell, but I don't know which one's the best one. I got blown up on a porta shitter.
Okay. That sounds like a pretty interesting one.
swear to God, it happened. And so it was like 10:30 at night. You know, you get your bubble guts over there. So I headed to Port-a-John. The Port-a-John is like 50 yards from our chews. And you hear that no, I heard they're so close. I heard the noise from the mortar, like the boom, when it goes out of the
tube. When it leaves the tube, yeah.
Yeah, but what the hell is that? And then all of a sudden you hear the little whistle. Boom, right around me. I was like, shit. And everybody else came out of their chews. I didn't have my weapon on me either. I left my weapon in my chew, my roommate. So with all the chaos, I just remember it being blown over. And I had blue shit all over me. I had shit all over me. And I had to run back to my chew, get my weapon, get to the bunker. And you know, how it goes from there.
Right. Yeah. That's definitely not fun. And probably everyone was not super excited to be next to you in that bunker covered in shit.
That's not right. What the fuck is that smell? I was like, sorry.
Good aim at the shitter.
Yeah. Like, I don't know how they fucking did that. And I don't know how I didn't get any shrapnel in me either.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. Yeah. But I mean, it's, you know, fortunate that it worked out that way, that the worst of your injuries were your pride. And you know, what else went on? You said you had a bunch of stories over there. You know, what other kind of stories do you have to share with people?
We had, like, I actually had some fun stories, some fun memories over there.
Okay.
It's weird to say, but I like telling the fun stories better than I like telling the bad stories. There are more bad than there are fun, so most people are fun. my squad, we call ourselves the Amble Dogs. We got in trouble a lot with the mischievous group of the unit. And we were, there was only like eight of us. And we was at our area. We just did our thing. But when we'd go to like chow or anything like that, we'd see it. Oh, here comes the Amble Dogs. Fucking crazy. Our commander, fuck, I forgot her name. But she got, I got in so much trouble because I built a swing. You know how they stack up conics is like three high?
Mm-hmm.
They stacked up those conics. We had three conics stacked high. I took some pallets and made it high enough to where I could reach the top, and I tied a rope and made myself swing. This is about 30 foot high. And I was like, yeah, this is going to work. This is gonna, no doubt. So I jumped off those pallets and wrapped my legs around the rope, and up I go. I go about, I stay about 30 foot, and I look at, and I can see five other people staring at me like, he's done. And I come down. I didn't let go of the rope in time, and I slammed into the connex, and I thought I broke my back. But seriously, I did something because my whole back was black and blue. And then we went to chow, and my commander came up and patted me on the back. He's like, hey, Brake, bam, pat me on the back. I was like, oh, shit. What happened to you? I was like, nothing. He's like, lift up your shirt. I was like, oh, fuck. I lifted it up. He's like, oh, my God, what did you do? I was like, oh, fuck, I made up a story. I told her something different. I forgot what I told her. But because I didn't want to get my staff sergeant in trouble. Because he was the one that he allowed me to do it. He said, you ain't gonna do it. And so I made up something. I forget what it was. And and we used to get in trouble for having we try to ride wheelies in our bobcats. We totally threw bobcats. But when it came down to it, we got serious and got our shit done. And got to have a lot of fun. We went out on a couple missions and some stuff happened, and you know, but I was always like being inside the base better than being outside the base.
Yeah. And, it tends to be a bit safer inside the base until the mortars start dropping.
Until the mortars start dropping. Right. Yeah. That's, And people always, yeah, people call everybody, like people that don't go outside the wire a lot, call them bobbits.
Yep.
And I was like, they're still in danger too, man.
Yeah, there's plenty of danger on the base, yeah.
Yeah, it was back in July 30th of 2008. I was on guard tower, and a guy named Martinez replaced me. And I was just coming off guard tower. As soon as it was like 8 o'clock in the morning, as soon as we were placed, I got that to the bottom of the stairs. I hear him yell, RPG, RPG. I'm like, what the fuck, already? And right through the window of the guard tower where he was standing, out the door and into a HESCO barrier above my head.
Oh, wow.
And it flipped. And that made a big old hole in the wall where our base was around there, trying to come in. So we all started firing away, and there's about, I think that was about 12 guys that time that was trying to rush the base. And but luckily before that, because we're the ammo dogs, we got to go all the way around the base, and we set up claymores around all the place. So whenever I just grabbed that clicker, man, I just, boom, got him. And I didn't want to look at what I did, and it caused a lot of damage. But I saw it. I didn't want to look at what I did, but I remember Martinez. He got hurt. He got hurt pretty bad because of that RPG, and he was messed up. He was messed up pretty bad. But he survived. He held that guard tower down too. Like, he didn't let nobody in. Nobody came in, and then, because they had, you know, all around the base there's guard towers.
Mm-hmm.
And, they were hitting three at once, and they was trying to get in. Yeah. A couple of them did get in. They got inside the base, but they didn't make it very far.
And it all depends really on, you know, where you're located and, you know, what the bad guys who are in the area, you know, because you could be on another base, similar setup to what you're on, and not hardly see anybody the entire time that you're there, right, while you're on the base. And, right, you know, other places you might see them every day, or, you know, a few times a week. So it's really a crapshoot. And sometimes they just wait to see what they can do and wait for an opportunity. And it's sucks when it happens, but you know, that's part of the job, unfortunately.
I remember on my second deployment, we were able to schedule when they were going to attack.
It was like, oh, really?
That happened so much. Like, oh, get ready for it. Here it comes. Sure enough, boom, here they come. So they got predictable there for a while. But then they realized they're being predictable, and they changed it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we was always doing supply runs from base to base, going different places and stuff like that. And that was always, I like seeing the nice people out there, because Iraq's like everywhere else in Afghanistan. There's good and there's bad people. All the good people there, man. I liked it. And again, back to my first deployment in 0405, I remember me and my buddy got my Godwin. Rest of his soul, he died. Our first deployment was over there. He drank a lot, but that was a dry country. So, mm-hmm. he replaced it with pain pills, pharmacy. And over there, you can buy pain pills on the street. And we've seen a little kiosk, like a little kiosk they have inside the base. That's why I have those out in town. And there was one with an RX on it. Godwin saw that RX. And he was like, oh, yeah. And he bought a bunch of Valium and a bunch of hydrocodone. And, man, yep. And he came back. I didn't go on that one. He went out and came back. But he's like, look what I got. Because he was my roommate. I was like, holy shit. He got some weed. He got some hashish out there, too. We brought some weed back. We smoked some weed, and man, that was the early days of it. But I remember that was a fun time. I remember hiding behind Humvee from Sergeant Jeffrey smoking a joint. And I see him and Sergeant Parker both walking, me and Delvin just kneeling down. God, that, hope they don't smell it. But they was too far away. They didn't smell it.
Yeah, and that's stuff that happens. You hear stories of Vietnam vets who were they were finding drugs over there, and they were.
Well, that was worse.
It was so much worse over there. Yeah, there's heroin and all sorts of stuff, and it's, I mean, it's unfortunate, but it happens. You know, it's not not the best situation to be in, but it does happen. So it's kind of a reality of war and, you know, combat, especially in those areas where it's easy to access that stuff. Especially Afghanistan, Iraq, you know, that's where some of that stuff comes from, you know, they grow it there, you know? So let's switch gears a little bit and talk a little bit about, you know, what you're doing with your podcast and what you're up to. You're just getting started with it. The Lucky Break.
I've always wanted to do it ever since podcast came out. I've been wanting to do it, and everybody always said, just if you want to do it, just jump in, go. And I was always nervous, like, people just don't think I'm just trying to get attention or something like that. But so I didn't do it for years. And finally, I was just like, fuck it, I'll do it. There came out with this app called Anchor. And I clicked on that. I was like, all right. But I didn't have any idea what I was going to do. I thought I was just going to do, like, interviews and stuff like that. And luckily, I ran into a guy down here named Doug Driesel. He's a music producer. And he helped me with my very first episode by being my guest. And he edited it, produced it, everything. And so my first episode is probably my best episode so far. And but it's mainly just, telling people stories like I just did. Mm-hmm. And are sharing whatever they want to share. Or if I don't have a guest on the day that I'm supposed to have a podcast, I'll look up a story and like a murder, like a true crime story. I'll tell some of those. I like telling the true crime stories. I did one on the Carnation murders. That one did pretty good. So I'm working on one right now called the John Kaiser case. And he's from here. My Uncle Joe. Uncle Joe got me into looking him up. But he was a veterinarian in 1936, and he finally started working on people, but he would cash out life insurance policies and slowly kill them, like by injecting something. I'm not full into it yet, but it's crazy. And he got away with it. Didn't go to prison, didn't get the chair, didn't nothing. Got away with it.
Wow.
Killed 11 people, collected on 9, and somehow got away with it. 1936.
And you also have a wide range of people on the show. It's not just like veterans or anything like that. It's all walks of life, basically.
Everybody. Anybody that has something interesting. I got, after the John Kaiser case, I got that's tomorrow, matter of fact. I got a episode with Two Tie Timmy. He's kind of a local celebrity. He's so patriotic that he'll be out in the rain, snow, shine, anything. He'll be out there in Hardy, Arkansas, with the flag just running around, waving in America, America. Still, and he makes funny YouTube videos. But, I never knew who he was. My brother said, oh, that's Two Tie Timmy. I was like, I want to try to get him on my show. And I looked him up. They told me his real name, Tim Seeger. So I looked him up, and I sent him a message out. Get my phone number, and he called me. He's like, hey, man, this is Timmy. This is Tim. I was like, Tim? Is that Two Tie Timmy? I was like, oh, shit. No way. And finally, I felt like I might be going somewhere with it. So I'm going to keep on going with it. I only have 5 episodes.
Yeah, but the other day when we were talking, you were saying that your schedule's filling up quite a bit with a bunch of people that were reaching out. So I think these episodes will be continuing.
Yeah, since I did that on that veterans page, everybody's like, I've had like more people in my life that's never called me. I just got a text right now from somebody that said that says that they would do it. That's funny as hell.
Yeah, and it really does. Social media really does make it a small world. It makes it so that, you know, people who otherwise probably would never meet. You know, I'm in Arizona. You're over in Arkansas. It would be very unlikely for our paths to cross otherwise. So, you know, getting on social media, it's not all bad. You know, it has its downsides, but it's not all bad. And it definitely, you know, can bring people together like this, which I think in a way is a good thing. Say again.
You're on the same age as me.
I'm 38. Yeah, I'm 38. Yeah, so we're right in the same ballpark there. So, yeah.
So we're the generation that grew up half our life without the internet, and the other half with the internet.
Yep.
So we're kind of the mixture of both, because we were like, when we were kids, we didn't have shit, we didn't have nothing, but we still like it. But we were young enough to get into it and still like it. And but now they're still coming out with new shit. I feel old as hell. My son's 14. He's like, you've never been on Twitch? I'm like, what the hell is Twitch? Like, it just came out with Facebook 10 years ago. What?
Yeah, there's all sorts of new stuff coming out and the different ways of connecting with people. And that's one of the things I like about the podcast is that we can connect with people, tell people stories and, you know, share information. About you know all sorts of stuff, and that's really a great thing about it. And there's really no you know end in sight in terms of like the types of podcasts that people can do. You know, yours is a nice wide variety. You know, mine is focused on veterans, but there's all sorts of things out there. And you know, I really would encourage people. I really would encourage people who are out there who, you know, have a story to tell, have a message that they or something that they're passionate about. You know, to think about starting a podcast, it's really not a half bad way to go. It's not super difficult once when you figure it out. You know, like the other day when we talked on the phone, you know, I gave you some advice and some things like that. You know, one thing I've noticed is that people are very, very open, you know, to helping each other out, you know, other podcasters and stuff. So if you have questions, you don't know where to start, you know, find a group of people who already are doing it. You know, whether it's a podcast or whatever it is that you want to do, whatever you're interested in, and just start asking questions and get out there and try to help each other out, you know?
Yeah. And that's what I do. I do that. Are you on the podcasters page too? Do you have those on Facebook?
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a bunch of, podcasters on Facebook that I'm in, and you know, it's cool. People have questions about, you know, where's the best place to host your podcast? What's the best microphone or the best, you know, way of recording? And, you know, everyone has their own opinions. They're almost like fingerprints, like, you know, the different ways that people do things and how they have their setup. It's all different, but it's really good too. Because then you get a variety of options from all these different people. And then you can play around with the different options that they give and see what works best for you. And I think ultimately that's really what you need to focus on is what's going to work for you.
Right. So like so far my wife doesn't know nothing about podcasting either. And she knows that I'm doing this and she tried to surprise me by ordering me some microphones and neither of us know anything about good microphones. So she just Googled podcasting microphones. And I got the Snowball Ice microphones. She bought me two of them.
Okay.
And I tried them out, and they work pretty good. So I guess I'll stay with them for a while.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the one thing I've found with podcasting is as far as like the microphones go, and the technology that you put into it. Like, start with what you have, and it doesn't have to be crazy. Doesn't have to be super expensive or anything like that. And start with what you have. See if it's even something that you want to continue doing, because you may do 3 or 4 episodes and say, no, this isn't for me. And then you don't want to blow hundreds of dollars on equipment that you're not going to end up using. So start with what you have. See if you like it. If you do, then you know, consider investing a little bit of money into it and see where it goes from there. So that's
what I did. Cool. I'm a part of the
book. Okay.
I don't even care if people don't like it. I like doing it. So
exactly. Yeah, and you'll find an audience for it too. You know, there's an audience for just about everything as far as the podcast goes. As long as the content's good and people are getting something out of it, it's informative or entertaining or whatever the case may be. You know, people will subscribe to it. It may not be, you know, a Joe Rogan kind of podcast with millions of followers and subscribers and everything like that. But yeah. You know, but at the same time, that doesn't really matter either. Yeah. I was talking to another guy that I know that does a podcast, and he was saying, you know, even if you get 50 people to listen to an episode, like on average, you get 50 listeners per episode, you know, think about that. If it's a weekly podcast, think about you getting up in front of a room full of 50 people and talking to them for an hour or a half hour, whatever the length of the episode is. And you have their undivided attention for, you know, that period of time every single week. Like, that's actually pretty good, you know, being able to have that type of audience. So, you know, no matter how small it is, you know, even if it's 5 or 10 people, you still have an audience of people who are actually engaged and listening to what you have to say. And, you know, even if you're helping one of those people out with the stories that you're sharing, or the advice that you're giving or entertaining them somehow, then, you know, I think it's worth it.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, I've already gotten I don't even know how many people I know it's not very many. I know it's considered low, but it makes me feel good. I think it's like 128 downloads or something like that. I was like, hey, that's all right by me.
Right.
And I just said, I think of it like stand-up comedy. If I had this many people watch me, I couldn't stand up and front of these people personally and talk about what I'm talking about, so I'll sit by myself and do it
right,
and then I'll start getting less nervous. But
exactly,
I will go stand up comedy.
So what is the goal for you with your podcast and sharing these stories? What's it about these short stories that you hope to achieve to get what message out there?
Oh, just that everybody has a story.
Yeah.
Just that everybody's got one. Not one person has the same story.
Exactly. And it's absolutely true. You know, everybody that I've had on this podcast, I've had a few people on who had similar backgrounds, but even their stories were totally different. And they just went in different paths, and they, you know, different things affected them in different ways. And the way they solve their own issues or whatever, they did it in different ways. So it's really unique, and it's good to hear you know, people who are actually going through some of the same stuff as you might be going through, or, you know, whoever's listening to it might be going through, because it also lets you know that you're not alone out there, you know, that you're not struggling on, you know, whatever, if it's an addiction or something, you're not struggling on this alone. Like, there's other people out there who are struggling with it too. And, you know, it's inspiring to hear when people find their way out of that, you know, whatever the dark hole is that they're in, sometimes too. So, you know, but also it's good to hear the funny ones too.
Yeah. I like the funny ones, but I do have my dark hole, and that would be a little bit of PTSD, you know, but, I moved back home, and I thought that I was going to be alone, like never meet anybody else like this. But when I moved to Myrtle, Missouri, I came across Tim something. I forgot his name. He's not even my friend, but I realized that we're everywhere. We're like everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he was a Ranger sniper, and he was messed up in the head. I was like, oh, thank God, somebody that liked me. But yeah, it doesn't make you feel good.
Yeah. Before we wrap up, before we started recording, you mentioned that there was a veteran outreach program that you wanted to talk a little bit about and give some information about, because you know, they're doing some good stuff out in your area, and you know, if anyone out there is listening to it, it would be good for them to know about what it's all about. So why don't you take a minute and kind of tell a little bit about what that organization's up to and how they can help people in your area.
Okay, yeah, that's a buddy of mine, Cully Parr, started this with the VA. He got in with the VA down here in West Plains, Missouri, and he started what's called the Veterans Outreach Program, and he just it's basically just helping anybody that needs help in any type of way. Like if you need help, just talking, call his number to talk. If you're stuck in a ditch, call his number. Someone on his team will come get you out of a ditch. If you're thinking about hurting yourself or someone else, call Cully. And whatever you want to do, reach out to Cully, and they will help you.
Yeah, that's a good service to have. Sometimes people are there alone, especially this time, with all the COVID stuff, with all the restrictions and stuff, people aren't seeing people the way they usually do. And a lot of people feel isolated and alone. So knowing that there's someone out there who's.
They'll go through anything just to help you.
Yeah. Yeah. And knowing that there's someone out there who's willing to, drop everything to come and help you out is a big plus to have too. So that's great. I'm glad you shared that organization and kind of what they do. And is there any links or anything like that to, do they have like a website or phone number or anything that I could put in the show notes?
I think it's www.vop.gov.
Okay, cool. I'll check that out and double check that and put that in the show notes just so people can find that and access it when they need it.
If it's not VOP, then it's the full veteran outreach program.
Okay. Yeah, I will double check that and put it in the show notes. So, Stephen, it's been a pleasure speaking with you today. Where can people go to find out more about your podcast and subscribe and listen to that?
I'm on Google Podcasts, my Apple Podcasts, Spotify. I think Spotify is the main one that everybody goes to. I think it's the majority. So I always say Spotify, but also Anchor. That's where I record, edit, and do everything. And that's it. That's
okay.
For my mom.
Awesome.
I don't have a website yet, but
I will. I'll put a link to some of those in the show notes and get people to hopefully start following and subscribing to your podcast, the Lucky Break podcast. And so you can search for it over there if you don't click on the links. And again, it's been great speaking with you and hearing your story and what you have going on. So I really do appreciate it.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Drive On Podcast. If you want to check out more episodes or learn more about the show, you can visit our website, driveonpodcast.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Drive On Podcast.